I mean...
Welcome to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, CCL Football Game of the Week. The CCL Football Game of the Week is brought to you by the Mount Carmel Foundation. Your play-by-play announcer tonight is Randy Reinhardt, along with color analyst Coach Larry Wolf. Tonight's matchup is an opening round game in the Division III playoffs as DeSales hosts Sheridan. And now here's Randy Reinhardt and Larry Wolf with the CCL Football Game of the Week.
Well, folks, the last time these teams got together was 2005, and it was a regional final matchup, and the Stallions cruised to a 28-0 victory. Larry Wolf, could history repeat itself tonight?
Absolutely. I mean, DeSales is the prohibitive favorite, I believe. I mean, Sheridan didn't come here to lose, obviously. They'll put up a good, strong fight, but in the end, it's the power and the speed of DeSales. And it's a fast track here at the Stallion Field, so I think DeSales is going to be in good shape tonight.
Generals come in at 8-2 in the campaign, the Stallions 10-0. We'll meet both of the head coaches when we come back, and we'll remind you, first of all, this is the CCL Game of the Week, presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
This is Bobby Dawes for Bob Boyd Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Lancaster, where the deals have never been better than during the Ram Power Days. Save up to $11,000 on new 2016 Ram Crew Cab 4x4s or get 0% financing for 72 months on all new 2016 Ram 1500s. Shop us 24/7 at bobboyd.com. Come see us at Bob Boyd Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Lancaster, where the best deals you'll see are always on Route 33. Good people, great deals. It's the Bob Boyd way.
Because from the moment we meet, you become the most important patient we could possibly have. It's why we'll go above and beyond today. And go even further tomorrow. Because caring for you is an honor and a blessing. At Mount Carmel, you are the reason for everything we do. You are why we seek the best people. With the highest levels of skill, training, and experience. And why we invest in the best equipment. From life-saving technology to healing spaces with all the comforts of home. So you can get better. So you can live. Work. Play. Love. Mount Carmel. Because of you.
Education First Credit Union is your total mortgage source. Whether you are looking to buy your first home, refinance your existing home, or take advantage of your home's equity, we are a mortgage lender you can trust. We take pride in providing the most comprehensive line of mortgage products at very competitive rates and terms. Education First Credit Union is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 811029, and federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
And welcome back to the pregame show, joined now by the head coach of Sheridan, the one and only Paul Culver III. And, Coach, first of all, congratulations on making it this far. Talk about the regular season for your team.
Thank you. It's been a season of fulfilling expectations and challenging new ones, going to new levels. We haven't been in the playoffs in five-plus years, and so that was a goal of ours. And seeing it come to fulfillment is great, but our kids are still pretty hungry. So they had that sense of fulfillment and accomplishment, but just makes you greedy for more.
Let's talk about your offense now in the campaign, led by Dylan Duplert, quarterback. Talk about the skills that he offers.
Dylan is a pitching prospect. He's already committed to Marshall, so he has a big gun. And it's 6'5", 190 pounds. He has the vision to see over the line, the body to take the hits, and he's an excellent runner, terrific vision, very patient. He does a fantastic job of full command of our offense. It's almost a problem as a coach because I can do pretty much through him whatever we want to do. So, and that's to some extent. Obviously, you know, we're not perfect, but he's a good football player.
How about from a running game standpoint, who should we look for tonight?
Dylan is our leading rusher, but close behind that is Luke Ridenour, and then two other primarily defensive players that do a great job of giving us like a spark coming in and getting really good carries in Justin Bobo and Jarrett Munyon. And so if you view all three of them as kind of co-starters, we have a really nice tailback set, you know, over 1,000 yards rushing. So they do a fantastic job.
Talking with Paul Culver as we get ready for the contest between DeSales and Sheridan. How about the defense? What's important about your defense here in 2016?
One of the big things is our ability to stop the run. I think most defenses start there. Unless you're playing a five-wide team that, you know, throws it 50 times a game, you have to be able to stop the run. And so that starts up front. I have multiple returning starters and a returning starter at linebacker, Justin Bobo. He'll probably earn some postseason awards and things like that, and a rather experienced secondary. But ultimately, it's about stuffing the run.
And, Coach, finally, keys to victory tonight. What are some of the things either you have to do or prevent the Stallions from doing in this contest?
We have to find a way to move the ball successfully. I mean, our offense is a good offense, but their defense is fantastic. I mean, the D1 commitments and things like that, they obviously jump off the page at you. And so we have to be able to move the ball consistently, not put our defense in bad positions. And our defense has to control their power running game. They're both their tailbacks. Truthfully, I've even seen a third tailback that I think is pretty good, but both their starting tailbacks are terrific football players, and they come downhill so fast that we have to control the line of scrimmage, generate tackles for loss, put them in third and long. They're not a passing team. They pass it well, but they pass when they want to. We have to force them to pass when we want them to.
Coach, best of luck tonight.
Thank you very much.
More of the pregame show just around the corner. This is the CCL Game of the Week, as presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Hello everyone, Dino Carfagna here for Carfagna's Kitchen and Family Restaurante. Carfagna's offers the best in casual full-service Italian dining, featuring authentic handmade pastas, pizzas, strombolis, gourmet salads, and grilled sandwiches. Weekly specials include Monday's $5 bottle house wines, Wednesday $1 glass wine night, and Thursday's featuring thick cut prime rib with two sides for under $19. Come and visit Carfagna's Kitchen at 2025 Polaris Parkway, just one block off I-71. And as always, go Stallions!
Position yourself for success at Ohio Dominican University.
With an outstanding academic reputation, ODU offers an education that produces graduates grounded in faith, values, and ethics.
Ranked in the top tier of U.S. News and World Report's rating of Midwest universities, Ohio Dominican offers a wide range of academic programs that are in demand in today's marketplace.
Whether you're launching your career or preparing for grad school, ODU is here to position you for future success.
Connect your passion with a purpose.
Learn more at ohiodominican.com.
Malik & Malik, a family-owned law firm that provides quality and compassionate legal representation in the Columbus, Ohio region for people who have suffered injuries and deserve proper compensation. Our Columbus, Ohio attorneys are dedicated to helping you recover your rightful compensation for job-related and worker compensation injuries, as well as injuries resulting from car and truck accidents, dog bite claims, and more. Visit us at maliklawfirm.com.
Hi, I'm Mike DeAndrea from Miracle Motor Mart. Our pricing is about half of new. Think about it. If we sell you a product at a great price and it is very reliable, well, that makes you a happy customer. Which explains why over the past few years, Miracle Motor Mart has become the largest independent dealer by the number of vehicles sold in the state of Ohio. Listen, go to miraclemotormart.com. You'll be glad you did.
And welcome back to the pregame show, joined now by the head coach of the Stallions, Ryan Wiggins. And, Coach, before we look at the second season, talk about the regular season and your thoughts as you reflect back on an unblemished campaign in 2016.
Well, I think it was a great season. 10-0 is not easy to achieve when you talk about the different adversities and things that come with a football season, having to overcome things, whether it be injury or poor play or whatever. So we've been fairly consistent. Winning the CCL is always a big deal to us. We've had some good things happen. We've set some records offensively. We've had some great individual performances, but ultimately we're really excited to be in our second season where we know everybody's 0-0 and everybody's winner go home. So we need to be at our best.
More importantly, how healthy is the team now heading into week number 11?
We're healthy, and that's something that's very encouraging, to be healthy at this time of year. We've dealt with a little bit of that throughout the year, and I think that's helped us build some depth, but we are healthy as of now, and we hope to stay that way.
Where have you seen the biggest improvement on this team this season?
I would say that our offensive consistency has gotten better each week, and running the ball, minimizing penalties, our play up front, I think that's been a strong point. And then with the amount of games we've had that were one-sided, we're able to get a lot of kids in. So you see some growth and some development from, you know, coming up from the younger guys, too. All of it's positive.
Regional quarterfinal action tonight. You take on Sheridan. What do you know about the Generals?
Well, they're a very good football program with good history. They've been there before. They're in the playoffs many times over the years. And well-coached, physical, community loves their football program. They have a lot of pride. They play tough, aggressive defense, good athletic linebackers, big up front. Offensively, very dangerous. They're a spread team that runs the ball at least half the time, maybe a little bit more than that, but they do it out of a spread. And they have a quarterback who can improvise, who can make plays down the field, who can make plays with his feet, and is very dangerous. So it's a very complete football team, and it'll be a good challenge for our guys.
Are they comparable to any team that you've played so far this season?
I would say in the neighborhood of maybe a Trenton Edgewood type team, you know, who was a Division II playoff team. They run the ball well. They throw the ball well. They have some dynamic offensive players and very aggressive, you know, physical. That's the kind of team I think you're used to seeing in the playoffs.
Do you have to give a big speech at all when it comes to the postseason to this team?
I would hope not, and I don't think we would have to with a senior-laden team that's been through some playoffs over the last couple of years that is in their, you know, their last chance to make a mark on our history and our tradition. I think they hopefully realize the opportunity that's in front of them and are going to leave it all out on the field each week.
Coach, good luck tonight.
Okay, thanks.
More of the pregame show just around the corner. This is the CCL Game of the Week as presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
There are many ways to listen to AM 820 on the radio, online, and on smartphones. Listen live on your Android and iPhone using St. Gabriel Radio's very own app available from your app store. You can also get the Catholic perspective on your computer. Just go to stgabrielradio.com and use the listen button at the top of the homepage. Tune into the faith as you cruise across town and around the world.
Instead of trading in your old car, truck, or van, think about donating it to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. In fact, St. Gabriel Radio is a nonprofit that accepts all vehicle donations. Your gift helps to spread the word of God to a multitude of listeners all over Ohio and may qualify you for a tax break. It's easy and hassle-free. Call 614-459-4820 or visit us online at stgabrielradio.com.
It's game number two of a CCL Game of the Week doubleheader tonight. Playoffs are here, and DeSales opens up the Division III playoffs hosting Sheridan tonight. Last night and this afternoon, the area Catholic teams were a perfect 3-0. You heard it right here on AM 820 last night as Hartley knocked off Jonathan Alder 35-21 in the Division IV playoffs. Last night in Division VI, Region 23, Reedy hung on to knock off the number one seed River 28-21. Reedy next Friday night will play Newark Catholic, who this afternoon beat Belair 21-20 behind a big game from Kyle Gibson, 199 yards rushing, 184 of those in the second half for the Green Wave. Reedy Newark Catholic will have that game for you next Friday night right here on AM 820. Divisions 3, 5, and 7 taking the field today. Also in DeSales Region 11, Whitehall is at Bexley tonight. Chillicothe is at Hamilton Township, and Beechcroft takes on Eastmore in a battle of the City League. In Division 5, Region 18, Columbus Academy is on the road at Milan Edison. In Region 19, it's Liberty Union at Garraway in Sugar Creek. And then the only game in Division 7 for the area is in Region 27 as Harvest Prep is on the road at Shadyside. We'll keep you up to date on those games throughout the evening tonight. Also give you the scores at halftime and as many as we can from around the state after the game. Let's head to Alumni Stadium right now to Randy Reinhart and Larry Wolf for the call of tonight's DeSales Sheridan CCL Game of the Week.
Ryan, thank you. Great job as always throughout the entire season. And by the way, you're listening to WBSG Columbus St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. And DeSales has won the toss. They've deferred to the second half, so Sheridan will get the ball to start this contest. DeSales going from left to right in this contest. Purple jerseys, white pants, and for the Generals, they are white trimmed in scarlet and gray. For DeSales tonight, obviously a lot of attention has been paid to Alonzo Booth. You look at it, and one stat I put together that a lot of people I don't think have looked at. Yes, he's rushed for 1,759 yards, but on scoring plays alone, Alonzo Booth has totaled, are you ready, Larry? 1,024 yards just on scoring plays. He's got a grand total of 28 touchdowns this season, and he's touched the ball 155 times. He has fumbled just one time.
So you're talking about 28 rushes for 1,000 yards. I mean, do the math on that.
Mm-hmm.
That is ridiculous.
That's what makes him so special, but he's not alone. You got Brian Asamoah back there with 78 carries and 621 yards, and the leadership of Cole Silvestri, quarterback, 36 of 64 passing for 764 yards and 9 touchdowns for the junior signal caller. And then you factor in the guy that's got the football right now, the kicker, Dominic DiMaccio. He's 58 of 59 on extra points. I know what Larry's going to say, what happened on the one. He's 4 of 7 on field goals, including field goals he's connected on of 55, 52, and 47 yards, and 84% of his kickoffs are touchbacks. He's got it teed up at the 40-yard line, and it's the second doubleheader this weekend, a regional quarterfinal action tonight in Division III. As DeSales, a 10-0, number 2 in the state, in the last 8 people taking on the Generals at 8-2 of Sheridan High School in Thornville. We are underway. There's the kick, and to no one's surprise, it is a touchback 8 yards deep in the end zone. The Generals will have the ball at the 20-yard line. Offensively up front in the line, the big five are Taylor Deem along with Nathan Schreider, Nate Fink, A.J. Bryant, and Stan Knox. The wide receivers are Ethan Tabor and Mike Giddings. The tight end is Noah Cooper-Ryder. The quarterback is Dylan Dupler. He's their leading rusher as well, too, for over 800 yards, and he's passed for 1,200 yards as well, too. The running back is Luke Reidenauer. Also seeing time will be Justin Bobo and Jared Munyon. And the H-back is Max Hickman. It's their version of the Ohio State H-back, kind of a hybrid of the fullback, if you will. First and 10 from the 20-yard line. They'll go with three wide to the top. One back in the backfield from the gun now for Dupler in the first down play, and he wants to throw. The big 6'5 quarterback looks downfield and pass incomplete at the 49-yard line and nearly had his man right there. It's just missing it by a stride was Ethan Tabor.
If he'd have put the ball up over the top and let Ethan run under it, I think he'd have had him because he had about a step, maybe a step and a half on the DeSales defender.
We'll talk about the DeSales defense after this next play. Second down and 10 from the 20-yard line. 5 seconds. You surfed off the clock here in this contest. Let's see what look they go with this time. The widest guy goes to the bottom of the set now. It's Mike Giddings, the 3-year starter at wideout. 3 to the top. The handoff goes around the right-hand side, and they try to turn the corner, and there's nothing there that time. As Justin Bobo that time tried to turn the right-hand side. Larry, great pursuit by that defense for the Stallions. Up front, it is Drew McLuckie along with Darius Mullins, Luke Barber, and Brandon Darrow. Linebackers Ryan Corcoran, Tyvan Fossen, and Brian Asamoah. In the secondary, it's Joe Arnold and Chris McNally at the corners. The safeties are Jared Noble and Joey Velasquez. It is third down now. And 10, no gain on the play, right back at the 20-yard line.
The DeSales defense is going to be stout all night. And if Sheridan's going to move the football, they're going to have to mix in the pass on running downs and mix in the run on passing downs.
One back in the backfield. Wide receiver in motion from top to bottom. Dupler rolling to his left, looking downfield. Throws on the run, pass incomplete at the 32-yard line. A little too strong that time for Tanner Wollenberg.
It was nearly intercepted that time by DeSales. And you know, they had a chance. The ball was just a little bit low on the outside, or JoJo Arnold might have picked that one off.
For the Generals, they have not made it to the playoffs since 2010. We talked to Paul Culver III in the pregame show. His first year as head coach, 15 years as an assistant. His dad was the head coach for the last 35 seasons. The stadium is named Paul Culver Jr. Stadium after his father.
It's a family affair.
Jarrett Munyon with the rugby-style punt to the right and kicks it high, but not that far. Will it cross midfield? It will hit at the 49-yard line and matriculate back across into general territory right at the 49-yard line. So that is where DeSales will get the ball to start their first drive after that punt with 10:57 left to go. So first and 10 for the Stallions now. Mark the ball at the 49-yard line. It's not a very long punt. That one's going to go about 29 yards on punt. So first and 10 from just inside the 50. We'll call it the 49 of the Generals for DeSales and offense. Quarterback is Cole Silvestri. The aforementioned Alonzo Booth is the fullback. And let's see on this first set, Ty Van Fossen is in there. Silvestri giving some instructions to the up man and Van Fossen. Booth the deep man. One way wide to the bottom. We've got flags before we started. Did somebody line up in the neutral zone? I think we did. Perhaps the Stallions. Nope, they're going to say it's the Generals had somebody lined up just to the far side of the football there.
It's going to be tough enough for Sheridan to stop DeSales to begin with. They really don't need to give him a free five to start the game. This is a short punt and a free five. This is not a good start.
So first and 5 from the 44, 103 into this contest. And Silvestri wants to throw, and he's looking long downfield for his man, and the pass incomplete, intended on the play for Ryan Peaks inside the 5-yard line. Great double team coverage on the play for the Generals back there, among others, Mike Giddings.
Absolutely. They had him bracketed. They had him under and over, and that actually the pass was a perfect pass. It was the only place it could be thrown, and he had a chance to catch it, and they also had a chance to have it picked. So it was a perfect pass for all three of them.
Peaks with two catches on the season for minus 1 yard.
Yeah, I'll be surprised if this is not Booth time here. It's second and five. They got to figure out just exactly how Sheridan's going to stop this offense.
This is where a Booth could take it to the house. Second and five from the 44-yard line. Backs from the eye. Booth has got it, and he has stood up at the 44-yard line and pushed back. Not a whole lot there at all. Tag team tackle going high to make the hit on the play was number 25. That's Kyle Iman.
And Justin Bobo cleaned that pile up. He's a middle linebacker. He only goes about 190 pounds, but he really brought the wood that time.
And he was the linebacker of the year in their league as well to the Muskingum Valley Conference. So mark it at the 43. Give him a gain of one. Third down and four from there. Silvestri takes him up to the line, then peers to the sidelines to get the final information. As Arnold to the bottom of the set along with McNally. Tight end to the bottom. It's Booth time. Finds a gap and forces his way down to the 39-yard line near the sticks. And let's see if it's enough for the first down with 10 minutes left to go in the first quarter.
I think he's going to make it.
Number 25.
It is going to be close, so it's going to be a measurement. Booth is hobbled. This could be a big injury here. It's a little, it looks like a left ankle.
He's hopping off the field, putting no weight on his left foot, and hops all the way to the trainer's table now.
Bypasses the table, bypasses
and now goes
the water
to the bench and lays down on the bench. And it's a first down, by the way, at the 39-yard line. Grimaces, sits back up, still on the bench, though. Asamoah checks in as the deep man. Brian's got it. Quick pitch, 40, 35. And that's the difference between Asamoah and Booth. And a late flag or two on the play as Asamoah continued inside the 35 to around the 33. And we've got late hankies tossed on the play. Our referee tonight is Troy Newsom.
And Ty Van Fossen is limping a little bit for DeSales, too. This is going to be a physical contest.
Personal foul on the Stallions.
That was one of their linemen or one of their running backs cleaned up a blocker right over the top of the pile. He didn't need to do it, but it happens. They were playing hard, and he just kept going.
So the flag was at the 34-yard line. There's also a flag at the 39-yard line. They'll assess it from the 34 back to the 49-yard line. That's where DeSales will get the ball back with 9:25 left to go. Checking on Booth's status right now. He's trying to stretch out that leg, Larry, as he's now on the trainer's table. First down from back at the 49-yard line. Make that second down and 20. They have to change the sticks. Should be second down and 20.
Dead ball foul.
Asamoah is the deep back. They're offset now. Van Fossen is the up man. One wide out to the top of the set in motion from top to bottom. Toss sweep to the wide side. Here comes Asamoah with some acceleration. 50, 45, 40, and brought down inside the 40 to around the 37-yard line. Making the hit and saving a touchdown, it looked like, was Justin Bobo, because Bobo grabbed onto the ankle, was able to knock him down. Otherwise, I think he's still running after a gain of 13 on the play.
One of the things I saw, one of the linebackers, it was Kyle Heumann did that time. He cut inside, thinking he could run it down on the inside track, and Asamoah is just too fast for that. You're going to have to go over the top tonight, and you're going to have to concede that he's going to gain 2 or 3 or 4 yards and tackle him downfield.
Third down and a long seven from just past the 36-yard line.
This is four down territory here for DeSales, if they get any kind of positive yardage here.
Hey, got a great kicker, though, too. Velasquez goes to the bottom of the set. Toss sweep far side. Asamoah inside the 40, looks for a gap, spins to the 35, gets to the 34, and that is it. So now you're looking at
52.
The possibility of a 51 or 52-yard field goal or a fourth down in just a little bit more than five.
Well, he's got the leg. And there's no appreciable wind tonight.
He's coming out on the field. We mentioned the fact that he is made to. In fact, from 50 to 59 yards, I'll mention it, he is 2 for 2 on the campaign.
You had to do it,
didn't you? I had to. It is my job. It is in my contract. McNally to hold. This will be a 52-yarder.
I'm telling Coach Wiggins you did that.
My name is Larry Wolf. From 52 yards out, smack dab in the center of the field. There's the kick. It is up, and it is just short.
It was dead on, and it hit in the purple stripe underneath the upright. I mean, that wasn't short by more than a yard.
I almost thought it was going to hit the crossbar, perhaps, to get a kind bounce.
He got a little under it. You can tell he got a little under it because of the spin. There was a lot of rotation on that football. When you're hitting a long field goal, you want it to have that nice, slow rotation as opposed to the spin, the fast spin.
Well, Alonzo Booth is off the training table now. He's standing along the sidelines at the 47-yard line. First and 10 Generals for their second possession at the 20-yard line. Their quarterback, we mentioned good size, and Dylan Dupler, 6'5", 190 pounds. He's got a wide out to the bottom of the formation. And Mike Giddings, a triad to the top now, one back in the backfield, out of first and 10 from the 20. Looks to his right, the southpaw throws the pass incomplete, low that time for Justin Bobo coming out of the backfield.
It's probably a good thing it was, because Asamoah was waiting to just tee off. That's a good play, though. Pass on first down. Now they can run something on second down to get it into second and six or so, and then you have several plays you can run. But if they just run on first down and try to pass on third down, it's going to be a long night for the Generals.
One thing we haven't seen is their quarterback as a runner. He is their leading rusher on the season, so Dupler is going to run this play out of the gun, this time with three wide to the top, one way wide to the bottom.
This looks like the read option here.
And Bobo in the backfield to the right. And he gets the handoff and squirms up to around the 23-yard line. They'll set up about a third down and seven scenario now for the Generals with 7:21 left to go and ticking first quarter.
That was the inside zone play off the read option, and he gave it, and they gained about four. So now they have several plays probably in that third and six area. They can throw the short pass, or they can run the option on the outside.
Heard all the talk about Luke Ridenour. And so far, it's been a lot of Justin Bobo, who came into this contest with 43 carries for 312 yards. Luke Ridenour, 99 carries for 574 yards. Going to the bottom, back to that side, student body left, bent back that time is Dupler. The first time he carries it, and I don't think the body is meant to bend backward that way, and that's what happened to him when he crossed the 24.
They tried to run a quarterback power right off tackle, maybe off the end. There was no tackle or end. They disappeared.
So punting situation again for Jared Munyon, the junior, averaging 32.4 yards. He's got his second punt upcoming in this contest. He only had 12 during the season. Floating snap, and he's rolling to his right, and he goes with a rugby kick. He did that and took about six or seven steps, and it's going to hit inside the 45 and trickle down to the 40 and be down at the 38 of the Stallions. He took an extra couple of steps there, Larry, and I thought maybe he was contemplating a pass or a run.
That's about a 36-yard punt that time, and no return, and we got the Sales Stallion offense is going to take the field at the 39.
Will Alonzo Booth join that group of 11 on the field? That's the question. They break the huddle, and Booth is coming out. He will be in the backfield on his first and 10 from the 38 as the smoke continues to drift through from the barbecue.
And it smells awful nice out there.
Great cheeseburgers here at Alumni Stadium.
Great cheeseburgers, absolutely.
From just past the 38, first down and 10, DeSales, scoreless in this one. Toss, it goes to Booth around the left side. They go for his feet again, and he's brought down right at the 38-yard line. You know, I think they sensed there was something going on with his legs, because if you notice the hit, the Generals were going low that time.
Absolutely.
To bring him down.
Well, listen, he's 240 pounds a man. You don't want to tackle that high. You better get the ankles and hope that he goes down.
McNally, Noble, and Arnold, the hands people, will check in.
What you're seeing on first down was a nine-man front there. I mean, they had five down linemen, a walk-up linebacker on the outside, two inside linebackers, and safety rolled down in the box.
Let's be honest, they want to challenge the Stallions to throw the football.
Absolutely.
That is their game plan tonight. From the gun this time for Silvestri, one back, and that's Booth. Goes back to throw, has time, now rolls to his right, looks, still looking, and puts his head down and takes it across the 40-yard line to the 42, and that was a massive block that time. Was that Ryan Peaks that came back with the block that time on Stan Knox?
Absolutely. Ryan Peaks, Stan Knox, defensive end, number 77, was in pursuit of the quarterback, and Ryan Peaks peeled back. He went out on the pass pattern and then turned around and realized he wasn't getting the ball, so he came back to block. Holy moly.
Knox, who's there? It's Peaks.
I'm not sure he's going to answer. There's a telephone ringing somewhere.
In his head.
Mm-hmm.
Third and eight. Over the football right now is center Daniel Walsh, the 6'2", 225-pound junior. They need eight from the 41-yard line. trips to the top, one to the bottom, one back of the backfield. Alonzo Booth gets the handoff. 40, 45, midfield, 45, 40, look out, 30, 25, 20. Alonzo Booth is going to take it the distance for the touchdown, 59 yards. And with that, the Sales on the scoreboard. I am going to pronounce him healthy right now.
I would hope for Sheridan's sake he is healthy, because if he's hurt and he runs like that, this could be a long, long night.
Touchdown number 29 on the ground this season for Alonzo Booth, and then it was 6-0.
Well, he burst up the middle. There was nobody in sight, and only one player even touched him, and that was a safety, and I'm not sure he wanted to tackle him. It just was one of those, I hope I fall down and you fall over me kind of thing.
You don't expect a guy that weighs 245 pounds to get separation, and he did that in the secondary and just cruised the last 25 yards.
That was impressive.
DeMaceo to make it 7-0. Low snap. There's the kick. The kick is high, and the kick is good. And it's 7-0 to Sales. 4:33 left to go. We'll pause for 30 seconds on the CCL Game of the Week presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Salazzo Marble and Granite cheers on our Catholic high school teams. Salazzo Marble is Ohio's premier provider of gorgeous marble, granite, travertine, and stone tile with the largest selection. Our stone experts are knowledgeable and professional with a 45-year reputation for completing projects on time and on budget. Visit our warehouse and personally select the right stone for your home. That's Salazzo Marble, S-O-L-A-Z-Z-O. Online at salazzomarble.com. Arrivederci.
Liberty Union falls behind Garaway early 7-0, but they strike back quick. A 51-yard touchdown pass for Liberty Union. They missed the two-point try, though, so they still trail 7-6.
Ryan, thank you very much. Ryan will keep you up to date on all the scores from all the games tonight and playoff action. He'll also review the contest from last night coming up at halftime. Plus, we'll hear from Todd Bell about Ohio Dominican football. From the 40, it's teed up. Stallions now up 7-0 after the 59-yard run by Alonzo Booth and DeMaceo. Trying to make it 2-for-2 on kickoffs with touchbacks.
What's the over and under on this one? I'm going to say 66.
That's a line drive affair and still makes it 3 yards deep in the end zone. We'll bring it out to the 20-yard line. So for the third time, the ball goes back to the Generals. That drive, by the way, for the Stallions. Three plays, 61 yards, 1:38 off the clock. Booth takes it in 59 yards for the touchdown.
Sheridan's problem here is they need to hang on to the football so that they don't take the brunt of the DeSales offense, because DeSales will ball control you, they will power you, and then they'll strike big from 59 yards. So Sheridan has to maintain field position, and they have to maintain ball control.
So from the 20-yard line they go. Let's see what look they go with this time. They have a multitude of looks they can show you. This time Giddings is wide to the bottom. They have one wide out to the top. Two backs in the backfield, and the deep man gets the handoff, spins, churns, and gets the line of scrimmage, and that is about it. Back to the 20-yard line with 4:26 left to go in this one, as the interior of that DeSales line does the damage, and we've got a couple players down. In fact, one is up and one is still down. I think it's a member of the Generals still down at the 18-yard line.
It is indeed. We can't get a number. We're about a mile and a half away from that.
We should say, too, that we're in a skybox tonight.
Yeah, kind of nice over here.
The first time at DeSales High School. We have our own box. Larry's got his own couch in here for a number of reasons.
The psychiatrist didn't show up.
How does that make you feel when they don't show up?
It's nice because the couch is empty and I just fell asleep over there.
Go
which,
with
is
that
what, which is what Greg Zavolti's doing right now, our engineer.
He's lounging there.
It's not right. You should be working harder.
He's thinking of transistors and transformers and all the trans right now. So the 29th touchdown on the ground for Booth, but the 30th overall for him on the campaign. Player still being attended to down at the 18-yard line. Still can't see a number because he's in the prone position, lying down on his back. Stallions come to this side, and the Generals to the other side. As they still attend him, they're going to try to bring him up to his feet right now. And they've got him up, and let's see if he can walk or if he's going to hobble off the field. That's number 4 coming off. That's Max Hickman, and he is the H-back. So Hickman, 5'9", 210, and a senior, a guy that they call on quite often to be the heavy man, the big blocker. Although he's got some great hands for a guy, 5'11", 215. He's got 12 catches for 131 yards on the campaign.
He basically is like a guard in the backfield. You know what I mean? He's got the size of an offensive lineman and the power of an offensive lineman, but he has some running ability and some skills, so he can do both.
You know, along with those 29 touchdowns on the ground, Lonzo Booth has a 66-yard touchdown catch on the campaign, too. Imagine 30 touchdowns in a season.
Yeah, I can imagine it.
It's not going to happen for you. No. Two to the top, one to the bottom. This time, Dupler rolls to his left after the play fake, looks downfield, the pass up for grabs. Boy, you take your pick. There's three receivers. There's four DBs at the 42-yard line of DeSales.
And they're 0 for 7. None of them caught it.
Arnold's back there, along with Noble on coverage. Also back there for the Stallions is Joy Velasquez. And among the receivers back there on the play for the Sheridan Generals, number 21, Ethan Tabor, and number 17, Noah Cooper-Ryder, who sometimes plays as a tight end. So that'll be third down with the ball resting just past the 20-yard line. They need about 10 yards, 4:04 left to go, first quarter. DeSales on top, 7-0 in this one. Warren Ball had that record, remember, of 29 back in 2011. So Booth has now the scoring record. And Dupler, pressure on, gets away from it, now running for his life, looks downfield and throws, and the pass is complete across the 30-yard line.
It's Ethan Tabor with the catch.
And knocked down at the 32. Now, how he extricated himself from three jams, one at the 12, one at the 14, and one at the 15-yard line, was pretty amazing in itself, and still got the ball to Tabor on the far sideline, who made the catch for a gain of nearly 12 and a first down at the 32 with 3:55 left to go in the quarter.
That was good execution of what we call a scramble drill. When the quarterback gets in trouble, all the deep receivers come back short and all the short receivers go deep, and that's what Tabor did on that play.
Wallenberg, Giddings, and Tabor all wide to the bottom to spread out the defense. This time Dupler wants to keep around the right side. He's not going to do it. That time the pursuit was by Corcoran. Corcoran came shooting through, and Ryan made sure that play wasn't even going to make it to the line of scrimmage as he makes the hit for the loss on the play. The big inside linebacker has 27 solos, 25 assists, 12 and a half tackles for a loss, and three fumble recoveries and three sacks on the season.
Other than that, he hadn't been very busy. Now, one of the things I just noticed on this last play was Sheridan had three wideouts down here to the bottom and only two DeSales defenders, and the free safety was on the other side. So there was a mix-up in coverages, and right now I see three DeSales defenders walked out over here, assuming that they're going to get that same or similar formation.
Second down on the play, and a loss of nearly two. We'll call it second and 12 from back of the 30-yard line. 3:10 left to go. Two wide to the bottom, two to the top. He looks to his right to Stifler. Pass is knocked away. A quick paw that time by a Stallion along the far side of the field. And I'm going to say that was Drew McLucky.
It was. They dropped Drew McLucky into to the boundary. Now, what they did that time was Sheridan had two receivers wide, and there were three Stallions over here covering two, but there was two Sheridan Generals on the other side being covered by one Stallion. And so they dropped Drew McLucky underneath, kind of baiting him into a short throw and hoping that Drew would pick one off.
Well, he's got that wingspan, too. 6'4", 210 pounds, returning starter. A student ambassador. Uncle played in the O-line at UC. Third down and 12. Dupler, quick pop across the middle, pass overthrown, picked off on the play. Back the other way come the Stallions. Inside the 30, the 25, the 20, 15, 10, and the caravan goes into the end zone. No, they're going to say he stepped out of bounds at the 2 that time. Jared Noble thought he had the angle with the convoy, takes it back some 45 yards. And Larry, I think if he hesitates 1 second, he can go with the purple crush convoy into the end zone for the score, but they say he stepped out of bounds.
He just got a little impatient. He saw the goal line, thought he could get in, and got bumped out of bounds. If he had just hesitated half a second and just cut inside, he'd have made it easily.
He has the propensity for big interceptions. That's his third now. He has one for 104 yards against Cuff Cat. So it's going to be first down and goal for the Stallions. Let me mark it closer to the 2-yard line. Actually, yep, right at the 2. Near hash, going left to right, looking to go up 14-0. Backs from an eye, Van Fossen. And Booth tossed to Alonzo right up the gut, puts his head down. Does he break the plane of the goal line? Nope. Gets inside the 1, though, before he's knocked down.
Yeah, they stacked that up pretty well.
They've been aggressive with that defense, and you look at the size advantage, it goes to the Stallions.
Oh, absolutely. But one of the things Sheridan does is they're outmanned a lot of times in their league. They're not one of the biggest teams in their league, but what they do is they get good pad level.
Second and goal from the one, toss to Booth again, looks for the gap, and spins and goes into the end zone for the touchdown with 2:21 left to go, and then it was 13-0 to Sales on top. Thirtieth touchdown on the ground for Booth on the campaign. And now DeSales looking to go up after the extra point by a count of 14-0. Now last night we saw the Hartley Hawks go up rapidly to a big lead against Jonathan Alder and then kind of fought in that second half.
Yeah, they kind of just lost the edge a little bit. They made some, as I told Coach from Hartley, I said, you know, it was kind of uncharacteristic mistakes for you guys. And
yeah, Brad Birchfield. Yeah, great conversation with you after the game. DeMaceo with the extra point drills it. 14-0. Booth now 5 carries, 65 yards, 2 touchdowns. We'll take a break of 30 seconds on the CCL Game of the Week on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Hello, everyone. Dino Carfagna here for Carfagna's Kitchen and Family Restaurante. Carfagna's offers the best in casual full-service Italian dining, featuring authentic handmade pastas, pizzas, strombolis, gourmet salads, and grilled sandwiches. Weekly specials include Monday's $5 bottle house wines, Wednesday $1 glass wine night, and Thursday's featuring thick cut prime rib with two sides for under $19. Come and visit Carfagna's Kitchen at 2025 Polaris Parkway, just one block off I-71. And as always, go Stallions!
Randy, a huge rematch of a game you covered this earlier this year, and Bexley has a 7-0 lead over Whitehall.
I think Bexley has the Rams' number.
Yeah, it's a neighborhood game, and I think Bexley is going to probably roll in that one.
John Smith, one of the coaches that likes to be up top in the press box, up here in the loge quite often as he watches and calls the game. It is the best seat in the house. I don't know how you did it on the sidelines, Larry, because there's, I don't know, I have a hard time with depth perception on the sidelines.
Well, one of the things about the sidelines is you get a chance to talk to your kids.
Yep.
You get to be emotional, and that was one of the things that I always felt that we did a good job with is getting after the kids and making sure they stayed in the games.
DeMaceo with that foot as a weapon, third time a touchback now. We'll bring it out to the 20-yard line, kicks that one 7 yards deep in the end zone.
It's disheartening for teams that play DeSales. They can score from so many places, and then you kick off, and you get it at the 20.
You got to drive 80 yards.
You got to drive 80 yards, and it's tough against this DeSales defense. They're athletic, they're big, they're physical. And if they put you in a position to pass the ball, they have athletes all over the secondary.
What do you think was going on with Alonzo Booth when he checked out?
I think he either got a helmet on the shin, and he had that dead leg thing.
Right.
Because that's what it kind of looked like, or an ankle.
Three to the top. Handoff. Reidenauer finally gets his first handoff of the game up across the 25 to the 26-yard line. So Luke, the 5'9", 175-pound senior, who's got great vision and a polished running back according to PC3, Mulcover the third, gets a nice gain on first down.
Well, Asamoah played off the block out there. I mean, he was being blocked one-on-one. He played off the block and made a big hit on the running back there. Now, they gained 6 yards, but still good play by Asamoah in the flats.
Second down and four. Never thought I'd say this for the second consecutive night. It's warm.
It is warm.
We're blessed here in November. Trips in a line to the bottom. Dupler rolling to his left. I'm not sure what he wanted to do there. Was that a mix-up in the backfield?
I think he was trying to hit the short pass out here in the flat, but Tyler Van Fossen came off the weak side and just corralled him from behind.
If he was, he needed to do it earlier and throw the ball and get rid of it. Otherwise, it looked like an option with nobody there.
Well, there were three receivers down here, and DeSales was in press coverage on two of them with a safety over the top. And so when they tried to hit the short pass in the flat, DeSales just squatted on that, and there was no place to go with the ball. When he pulled up, Van Fossen got him from behind.
So mark the ball back at the 23-yard line. They need 7 from there. The clock reads 1-1-1.
I mean, the Sheridan and Faithful on the other side are getting a good look as to why DeSales is undefeated. They're just athletic. They're big and strong inside. They're athletic on the perimeter. They'll run you down, and they hit you with they're in a bad mood all the time.
Hickman's back in there, by the way. We have whistles. I think they may have taken a timeout. They didn't like the looks of that play, so Culver burns the timeout. His first 54 seconds left in the quarter. We'll pause for 30 ticks here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AMA 20.
Knights of Columbus Insurance, world's most ethical company, as recognized by the Ethisphere Institute, offering life, long-term care, and disability insurance, along with IRAs and Roth IRAs. Knights of Columbus, a trusted insurance agency with the AM Best A++ Superior Ratings. Contact their general agents, James Valent and Chad Osterholt, at kfc.org.
A big battle of City League teams tonight in Division 3, and Beechcroft has a 6-0 lead over Eastmore. Shadyside up early on Harvest Prep, 8-0, and Garraway has scored again. They lead Liberty Union 14-6.
I'm going to say it again. I found a vacant lot near 161 in Carl Road. If Beechcroft wins and they play to Sales, I'm sticking a claim to the vacant lot to play the game next Saturday.
Just have a flag football game break down. I mean, what the heck?
I mean, it's like a mile from either school. Perfect. Third down. And six.
You can play it in the parking lot of Old Northland Shopping Center.
Oh, there you go. To the game, please. Quick out pattern. And with contact on the play, Jared Noble knocked him down. He got there right after the ball did, I guess. I don't think Hickman even knew the pass was coming to him.
No, and he turned around at the last minute, and Noble saw the whole thing, and it's a good thing he didn't catch it.
He got drilled, and, I mean, it was timed very neatly by Jared Noble. Just about the time the ball got there, he decided to go for the separation move just in case. So a punting situation for the third time in this quarter for Jared Munyon.
Chris McNally would like to take one to the house here for DeSales. He's back in single safety here.
And the roll this time by Munyon, and that was an ugly line drive affair that's going to bounce across midfield to around the 45-yard line. Still trickling down to the 44 of the Stallions. You know, he has such a burst of speed after that 31-yard punt. You think he's actually going to run, but, Larry, can you get much on the football when you're running that fast?
Yeah, you can. These kids practice that rugby-style kick, but Jared Noble almost blocked that rugby-style kick, and you saw that happen in the Buckeye game a couple weeks ago at Penn State.
It's a rarity in this contest where you got Jared Munyon, who's the punter and also a punt returner.
That doesn't happen very often. No.
So first and 10 now for DeSales from their 44-yard line, last man on the field. Joey Velasquez, he's going to be a wideout to the bottom of the formation. Corcoran, a tight end to the top. Silvestri's going to be barking to his lineman. Under center, backs offset.
Toss this way.
Nope. Little play action, little roll this time. A dump underneath to Booth and nearly caught it at midfield. We mentioned he's got one catch for 66 yards. Got one hand on it, but only about three fingers. Three big fingers, but not enough. Second and 10.
The reason I thought it was going to be a toss sweep, they put Asamoah at the tailback and had Booth at the fullback offset this side to an unbalanced look up front.
Can you imagine that look with Booth and Asamoah in the backfield? That's Pick your poison, right?
No, just choose to fight another fight because it's not going to be pretty.
Velasquez to the bottom of the set. Silvestri under center rapidly now. Joey in motion. Handoff goes to Asamoah. Bryan accelerates into the hole, but they clog it up nicely to the Generals right around the 47-yard line. So a gain of about three on the play. It'll be third down and seven from there. Surprised by the number of passes you've seen from DeSales, although early on the Generals did gum it up inside.
Well, they're playing in basically a nine-man box. I mean, they're rolling people down. They have five down linemen. You know, on their defensive structure, they don't list themselves as a 50 that way. They have a four for front, and they're putting extra people in the box.
That'll end the first quarter. DeSales on top of Sheridan, 14-0. We'll pause and remind you, this is the CCL Game of the Week here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AMA 20.
Hi, I'm Mike DeAndrea from Miracle Motor Mart. We have a large selection of fresh, off-lease, low-mileage vehicles at great prices. Please visit our website at miraclemotormart.com, where you can choose from over 350 vehicles, which are priced to sell quickly. We deal with over 20 lenders to arrange your financing needs with rates as low as 2.9%. Go to miraclemotormart.com. You'll be glad you did.
Malik & Malik, a family-owned law firm that provides quality and compassionate legal representation in the Columbus, Ohio region for people who have suffered injuries and deserve proper compensation. Our Columbus, Ohio attorneys are dedicated to helping you recover your rightful compensation for job-related and worker compensation injuries, as well as injuries resulting from car and truck accidents, dog bite claims, and more. Visit us at maliklawfirm.com.
Third down and six to start the second quarter. Silvestri play action, rolls right, looks, dumps underneath. Corcoran's got it. 50, 45, 40. Down to sideline. 35, 30. Corcoran, 20, 15, 10, 5. Stays in bounds. Touchdown. 11:46 left to go. What a move that time by Corcoran. 56 yards for the score. And make it 20-0 Stallions.
Right. I mean, another one. Ryan Corcoran catches the ball in the flats. Could have been a 4 or 5, 6 yard gain. Just pulls away from everybody. Just outran everybody. And again, that's a third Stallion that we know can do that, among others.
He's got 4 catches for 2 touchdowns. Good work when you can get it.
They need to throw in the ball more often.
20-0 to Sales. 14 seconds into stanza number 2. McNally to hold. Damasio, nearly Mr. Automatic, as close as you can get, drills that one, 21-0. Take another quick timeout here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AMA 20.
Get 0% financing for 72 months on almost all remaining 2016 Ford vehicles at Bob Boyd Ford in Lancaster. This is Bobby Dawes, and for a limited time, you can buy a new 2016 Ford F-150, the best-selling vehicle in the world, and pay 0% up to 72 months. Shop us 24-7 at BobBoyd.com and experience for yourself. The best deals are always on Route 33 at the Bob Boyd Auto Family. Good people, great deals. It's the Bob Boyd way.
The Bob Boyd way.
After missing a couple field goals, Hamilton Township gets a touchdown run. However, they miss the point after. They lead Chillicothe 6-0, and Garraway has scored again. It's now 21-6 over Liberty Union.
That was a three-play, 59-yard drive. Took 48 seconds off the clock. Corcoran taking it in, the big tight end, the 6'1", 215-pound senior. And you take a look at yards offensively in this contest. And for the Generals, they have 18 yards to Sales, 146 yards of total offense. And we played nearly a quarter of this one. Is it the fourth touchback by D squared?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's no wind. And so I'm going to guess he's going to kick this 4 yards deep.
We have PC3 and D squared. Do a Star Wars sequel here. There's the kick. It is high. We'll see.
Ooh, he's not going to make it.
No. The return starts from the 1. Up across the 5, the 10, up to the 15-yard line, and down at the 17. That is as close as you can come to getting the ball to the goal line without actually getting it there. On the return that time was number 6, Ethan Heller.
Well, that's really disappointing, and I think we should check into his eligibility. I think he's too old. He's obviously wearing out. He can't kick far enough. This is ridiculous. If he's not going to put his heart and soul into kicking, then they got to find another kicker. That was only 59 yards.
In this age of being politically incorrect, we want you to know that Larry's kidding about it. Aren't you, Larry?
No.
Okay.
No.
You're just a rough coach.
Oh, my goodness.
Your standards are so high.
Really?
You're AP in football, even. First down handoff, and nothing there. Oh, my goodness. Reidenauer spun down by Van Fossen. He took a ride. He didn't even have a ticket, and it didn't matter. The tilt-a-whirl took place at the 15-yard line.
That was that's 2 tackles for loss.
Oof. That hurt. Ty Van Fossen now with 18 tackles for a loss on the season. Max Schools and Boston College have offered him.
This is the point in the game where this game could get out of control here, because it's 21-0 right now. The DeSales defense has been dominant, and their offense is rested because they've only been out there a few plays.
Second down and a dozen from back of the 15, only 1 minute into the second quarter. They're blitzing from the outside. They're throwing it long, and they have a man downfield, and he can't grasp the football, just out of the reach of Mike Giddings, the 3-year starter.
Well, he beat Chris McNally on the backside, and that was 6 points for Sheridan if they connect, because he, assuming he can outrun McNally, that was a touchdown.
Giddings, 27 catches, 465 yards, 17.2 yard average, and 8 touchdowns on the campaign against Tri-Valley. He broke one deep on a broken play, made the catch to allow them to win that game against Tri-Valley, 42-24, the first time they had beaten them since 2010. Now it's third down and a dozen. 2 wide to the bottom, 1 to the top, a wing to the top, 1 back in the backfield. Dupler, quick pop in the out pattern. Little hook and lateral play, and doesn't yield that much. They get up to the 21-yard line. It's hard to do when you're that near the sideline, Larry.
Well, it's also hard to do when Chris McNally was dropping to the sticks. His pass coverage went right to the sticks, and the pass was completed about 5 yards ahead of the stick, so he was 5 yards behind it. If it had been tight man-to-man coverage, that would have worked, but it wasn't.
Well, we're giving kudos. Let's hear it for the head coach and defensive coordinator for DeSales, too, Ryan Wiggins, with that 50 shade that looks like a 4-3 base sometimes. I mean, just think about the job he has done down through the years with the Stallions.
Well, they've been known for hard-nosed defense for, I don't know, 40 years?
Munyon this time gets his leg going, and oops! It's bobbled by Noble, looks for the ball. It's still free, and I think the Generals have it at the 33-yard line. They come up with a football on the recovery. Give it to Sheridan in the person of big number 27 coming up with the football.
Jacob Rhodes.
Yes, Jacob Rhodes, who is an interesting story. He's not a starter in the defensive secondary, yet he's got 5 interceptions.
Yeah, he's an opportunist is what he is. Well, this is the best field position Sheridan's had all night. Let's see what they can do with it here.
45 yards on that punt, according to the legendary Aaron McPherson, who's filling in tonight on stats.
And Jared Noble really got tricked up by that. I think the ball faded back into his helmet. He tried to catch it over his shoulder, and it hit him right in the helmet and went loose. And here we go.
Generals first and 10 from the Stallion 33-yard line. 10:07 left to go. They're down 21-0 now to DeSales in this one. Dupler pumps, wants to throw. Guns across the middle, pass incomplete. Had his man, but I think he waited too long to throw that down to the 15-yard line. The pump fake opened things up, but by the time he got the ball to Ethan Tabor, it was too late.
Yeah, Tyler Van Fossen was on the coverage, and he probably had the best chance of catching that ball. The good news is he threw the ball low over the middle. That ball had been up and then over.
Excuse me, Dupler 2 of 9 now for 17 yards in this contest. So it's 2nd and 10 for the 33-yard line. Running play here?
It might be the read option. He hasn't run the ball much. Dupler has not run the ball yet much, and he's their leading runner.
He's in the backfield along with Ridenour from the gun now. Ridenour gets the handoff, finds a gap, 30, 25, 20, all the way down to the 17-yard line before he's brought down. Found a seam off the left side, Larry, and a big gainer of 16 yards.
And you get a big roar from the visiting stands. They brought a lot of people here from Florenville, Ohio. It's a good crowd and a good drive,
and only the second time I've ever interviewed a head coach in his home. It was an honor to get into the home of Paul Culver III with his invitation. Got a chance to meet his 18-month-old daughter, Isla, who was trying to regain her health. He said, well, she's going to be shy. 30 seconds in, she was sitting in my lap. Rolling to the left is Dupler. Guns underneath, has his man. Pass is complete inside the 10-yard line, down to the 8. It goes to Tanner Wallenberg. So now the Generals, after that miscue by the Stallions, are moving the football.
Well, it's a short drive. They got good field position, and it gives you a little sense of confidence when you got decent field position there. You got a chance to score.
McNally on the hit, second down and 2 from the 9-yard line. 9:11 left to go. Remember last night, Hartley got up 21-0 early against Alder, and Alder fought back. 3 wide to the bottom, 1 back in the backfield. The gun look. Dupler's going to keep and look for the 2 yards. He's not going to find it. What he is going to find is something he didn't really want to see, and that's Darius Mullins waiting for him.
Yeah, and Darius Mullins is a big, big dude. I mean, he's, I don't know,
6'5", about 330.
Give or take. And you don't want that pancaking you.
The committee to the cream and crimson of Indiana.
That's your alma mammy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
There goes that school.
We need all the help we can get. Third down and a long 2, almost 3 now with the ball back near the 10-yard line. 2 wide either side. Right now in the backfield now for Dupler. Goes to his left and goes nowhere. Boy, he took about 2 steps on like a little option move, and he got drilled right at the 11-yard line.
Well, DeSales brought a blitz off the edge there and right into a speed option, and that's like death to happen because they had 2 free runners. They had the quarterback man and they had the pitch man both coming, and so there was no place to go with the ball. If he pitches it, it's probably a turnover.
Timeout, Sheridan. They take their 2nd. They have 1 remaining. We'll pause. 8:04 left to go on the CCL Game of the Week presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Education First Credit Union offers our members a variety of products and services to meet all their financial needs.
Since 1936, our values haven't changed. It's always been about putting our members' financial best interests first.
Becoming a member of Education First Credit Union is easy.
Simply visit us online, in person, or give us a call. Together, we are better.
Education First Credit Union is an equal housing lender and federally insured by the National Credit Union Administration.
Simon Cruz with a 54-yard touchdown run, and Bexley leads Whitehall 14-0 now. Keyshawn Ramsey with a 1-yard quarterback sneak, and Eastmore has a 7-6 lead over Beechcroft.
Extra points could be the difference.
You miss those extra points. That's the difference in today's Newark Catholic game.
That's right, as they got by Belair, or if you're the old school, Blair.
Blair.
Fourth down, and they're going to go for it. Fourth down, and almost four now, as they've lost a yard on each of the consecutive plays from back of the 11-yard line. Two to the top, one wide out to the bottom. Now in motion, they're going to have two with Hickman going to the bottom of the set. Dutler rolling to his right, now to his left. Now looking and gunning underneath. Pass is caught for the touchdown. They take it in for the score, and they get on the board.
I believe that was Mike Giddings. I'm not positive. I can't tell the number from here, but I think it was number seven.
So now it stands at 21-6 with 7:58 left to go.
It's either Cooper Ryder or Giddings. But it was a throwback across. I think it must have been Cooper Ryder because it's a tight end dragging across. So he's tight end.
And extra point time now for Trey Brown, who wears appropriately number three. Giddings to hold. There's the snap. There's the kick. It is up. It's 21-7. 7:58 left to go in the first half of this one as DeSales out to a 3-touchdown lead. And now the answer after the miscue by the Stallions on special teams. Let's go back to the studios of AMA 20. And Ryan, what do you have going on at halftime? And do you have any updates on any other scores right now, sir?
Yeah, you guys were just talking about the extra points and the two-point conversions, and it's coming up huge so far. Harvest Prep with a 71-yard touchdown pass, but they fail on the two-point conversion, so they trail Shadyside 8-6. And Hamilton Township, they convert their extra point this time. Robinson with a touchdown run, and they lead Chillicothe 13-0. Coming up at halftime, we'll try to give you as many scores as we can from around the state, and we'll also talk to Todd Bell. Ohio Dominican getting a big win today earlier here on AM 820. He'll tell us all about that as well.
And nobody does it better, folks, than Ryan Baker at halftime, and who does the postgame show as well, too. So our thanks to Ryan for the stellar job he's done every single week. That was a 6-play, 33-yard drive after the miscue, and it took 2:09 off the clock. Okay, just like that, it's a 14-point cushion now for the Stallions at 21-7.
Now, if Sheridan wants to get back in this game, obviously they're going to have to be stout on defense here and stop the DeSales offense, because DeSales, you know, they were up 21-0 and everything was going their way, and now they've had a little chink in the armor here, so let's see if the sales can answer.
You don't onside kick it here, do you?
No. You don't want to give Alonzo Booth and Asamoah half a field.
There's the boot. It is high, and the return is going to start from the 8-yard line up across the 10, the 15, out to the 20. Out to the 25, maybe the 27-yard line on the return that time. So the return goes about 18 yards as Joey Velasquez on the return. The Stallions will get it back in decent field position, up by 14, 7:52 left to go in the first half. All right, offensively, if you're right, Cromwell and company, what would you like to see your DeSales offense do right now?
Well, you're going to go back to a strong running game again. Obviously, Booth is going to get the ball the majority of the time. But if they run a 9-man front, the sales will throw that 4 or 5 yard pass in the flat, and they'll take their athletes in space and see if they can beat you.
Mr. Cromwell, Brian, has been the O coordinator for 9 of the last 10 years for DeSales. First and 10 now.
A 9-man front.
Yep, from the 27-yard line. One wide to the top, backs offset. Toss it goes to Booth. They try to undercut him, and great penetration that time. Getting through and hitting him before he even had a chance to take more than two steps. Somebody came knifing through on the play, and that was big number 18, Lane Householder, coming up from the secondary to make the hit, the strong safety.
Well, one of the things DeSales did there is they brought their wide receiver in motion, and then they tossed sweep. They were trying to get a crackback where the wide receiver. Well, what happened was the defensive back, Householder, just beat the block, and he came in untouched.
Ball back at the 26, loss of 1, 2nd and 11, 7:21 left to go first half. Stallions up by 14. Silvestri, under center, backs offset again. Toss to Booth to the near side, trying to get away, and they triple, quadruple team him and bring him down right at the 25-yard line. Grab it onto the ankles of Alonzo Booth, and he can't shake the defender, and they bring him down at the 26-yard line with some forward progress, so no gain on the play. Third down and just more than 10.
Jarrett Munyon, you know, he's about 165 pounds, was looking at 240 pounds running downhill at him, and he stood his ground and grabbed the ankles and did a nice job.
And the good news for him is the ankle doesn't weigh 240 pounds.
No.
It's a lot lighter, so no. If you go down there.
And there's less meat, so yeah. You don't have to wrap as much. So
third and a long 10.
They peer to the sidelines of the Stallions. Ryan Peaks wide to the bottom. He's the only wide out. Tight set. Backs from an eye. Peaks now in motion. Bottom to the top. It's Booth again. Booth trying to work his way to the outside. Uh-oh. Gets across the 30. Alonzo's got a gap. Look out. 40. Booth 30. Booth 20. Booth 10. That's the fastest Booth you'll ever see. 6:12 left to go, and the Stallions, just like that, on a third down and long, watch Alonzo Booth take it 74 yards, and it's now 27-7 to Sales.
That is an absolute backbreaker, Sheridan, because they had a good series going. It was third and 10. They actually had that play defended well, and Booth just kicked through a tackle, and it was C on down the road. It looked like a runaway freight train.
31 touchdowns on the ground, 32 on the season, and 27 points on the board for DeSales in the first half.
He'll never amount to anything. Goodness gracious. This what a season. What a
something
season.
Something else.
Fun to watch.
You know, it's ironic, too, you know, because they're recruiting him, a number of schools, for an offensive back. But some are saying, I wonder if this guy could play in the D-line as well, too. He's got that kind of talent. Kick is up by DeMaceo and good.
He's athletic enough to play a lot of places, probably.
We'll pause for 30 seconds here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Hi, Vince DeAndrea from Miracle Motor Mart, and I'd like to share a letter from one of our customers. Dan says, I can attest to their quality customer service and their commitment to delivering an unmatched customer experience. I have personally purchased my last 10 vehicles from Miracle Motor Mart, and if my extended family is included, that number jumps up to over 28. Sincerely, Daniel Horgan, Mayor of Akron, Ohio. Miracle Motor Mart, where we treat everybody like the mayor.
Randy, I want to give you guys a couple scores from around the state right now. Mogador has a 21-0 lead over Jackson Milton, and Norway leads Genoa 14-0.
Genoa.
Well, there's one stadium we probably won't have to go to this year that we went to last year.
And that would be?
Where did we go where they had one outlet?
Dover.
Thank you.
They had one outlet and a 40-watt bulb.
And it was cold.
Built
during
cold.
The Roosevelt administration. No, no. I'm not sure if it was Franklin or if it was Teddy Roosevelt, to be honest with you. Did say bully along the wall there.
I think it was Grant. Right after the Civil War, Grant.
Mudcat or Ulysses S?
Ulysses S.
All right, thank you. Here's the boot by DeMaceo. Will it make it to the end zone?
That's it.
To the 1 yard line again. Here comes the return up across the 10 and up to the 15-yard line, and giving ground on the play on the return is Jarrett Munyon. And kept fighting and eventually got knocked out of bounds far side around the 8-yard line. We'll see where the forward progress is. Now for Alonzo Booth in this contest, he's approaching, are you ready? Sit down, Larry. 198 yards, approaching 200 yards on 9 carries, 3 touchdowns in the first half. What did Dixon have last night?
He had 5 carries for 196, I think, and 3 touchdowns.
So comparable numbers.
So there you have it. You know, whatever you can do, watch me do better.
Pretty amazing.
You know what's funny about this DeSales team is they genuinely look like they're having a blast out there. You know what I mean? Every team, it's whether it's a kickoff team or the punt, they're just having fun.
Munyon's forward progress is the 11-yard line. That's where they will start the drive with two wide to either side. And Dupler from a pistol set now, little sweet formation, hands it off to the lone running back, and he will back his way to the 12-yard line, maybe the 13, then is pushed back from there. Whenever you turn around, once you get the line of scrimmage, it's not a good sign. Right now we're on the carry that time with 5:43 left to go. It's Luke now over 100 carries on the campaign. He understands waiting for blocks and allowing them to set up, but that time nobody could set up a block because of the purple crush there in the middle. I mean, those great jerseys just kind of went low and didn't give him an opening at all, and he got just past the 12-yard line, so we'll call it second down. We'll give him 2 on the play, second down and 8, closer to 13. Wing to the bottom, one wide to the top in motion, top to bottom, and one guy way wide the bottom of formation. Dupler across the middle looking. Pass picked off. Here comes Corcoran on the pick to the 15, to the 10, fights to the 5-yard line. Corcoran only knows one way to do it, and that is straight ahead. Made the pick. Again, he dropped back, saw the pass over the middle, and gets the ball from 15 yards down to the 5-yard line, and it'll be first and goal Stallions with a chance to score again.
With that run by our main man Booth, he just became the all-time school rushing leader, passing Dino Rosano. I mean, he just needs to set a few more records. Maybe he can run for Pope or something. I don't know. This guy is amazing, and he's going to probably score. Well, no, they're going to give it to Asamoah.
Asamoah is the deep man right now with the first and goal from the five with 5:05 left to go.
They're going
to
make Booth mad is what they're going
to
do.
Looking for touchdown number five in the first half. Asamoah's got it, looks for the gap, finds the seam, takes it in, uncontested for the touchdown. Add it to the board, ladies and gentlemen. You're watching a clinic and hearing it as we paint the pictures on the radio tonight. 34-7 Stallions. And mere moments ago, it looked like the Generals had some life.
They did. They had good momentum. They had done a great job. The problem is they had to kick off. That was the problem. They had to give the ball back to DeSales, and all they do was make them mad. They scored 7 points on that DeSales defense.
Asamoah with touchdown number 8 on the ground, set up by the Corcoran interception, and a chance now to make it 35-7 with DeMaceo out there. And we had motion before the snap. We kick it anyway. And again, a referee for tonight is Troy Newsom, our umpire. And they have encroachment on the defense is Eric Mock. Wayne Horsley is the linesman. The line judge is Randy Clouser. And the back judge is Matthew Oren. I'm expecting to see the same result as we saw on the prior kicks. Place it down at the 10 again. DeMaceo, snap, the kick, it's up. It's now 35-7.
See, I think what DeMaceo is doing here, kicking the ball to the north, I think he's intentionally kicking it to the one to see if they can keep Sheridan inside the 15-yard line on the return, because the last time they got all the way out to the 11. And I think it's kind of a, they're like playing a game here. I think he can actually kick it farther. It's just, oh, we got to let these guys tackle somebody. They genuinely look like they're having fun. Just,
did you ever have a kicker that had great control of the football? Who was it?
I had several kickers. I had 3 or 4 All-State kickers. Those guys could put the ball pretty much where we wanted them to put it. Put it down on the numbers. Put it down between the numbers and the sideline. We punted.
Who was the best?
Direct. Ooh.
Make some enemies. Come on.
All right. Teddy Ziegler, that played for us at Columbus Academy, was maybe the best. He was a 4-time All-Ohioan, and he put on a clinic in the state championship. He stood in the O at Ohio State and kicked field goals in both directions in pregame.
Wow.
Those are 60-yarders.
So he, you didn't need that during the game, right?
No. We beat Gates Milwaukee that year, 21-0, and, Teddy was pretty special.
How old were you then, Coach?
11. I was a child prodigy.
How old were you? Do you remember?
Let me think about that. 33, right. 34.
There's the kick by DeMaceo. This one will find the end zone and go about 7 yards deep, and they'll bring it out to the 20-yard line.
See, I think Ryan Wiggins got after him there and said, you better kick this one in the end zone or we're going to demote you to JV.
Yeah, that's going to happen. First and 10 from the 20-yard line. 5:01 left to go in the second quarter. Coming up at halftime on the highlighter, we're joined by a couple special guests, Dan Garrett, the principal here at St. Francis DeSales, and Jim Jones, the assistant principal, and also the brand new commissioner of the CCL. He's done a great job in year number one. We'll talk to those guys in the highlighter, presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation at halftime. Ryan Baker will run through all the scores that he has so far. And also Todd Bell will give a review of Ohio Dominican football from earlier today. And it's good news for the Panthers. From the 20-yard line, tight set with two backs and a wing. And a handoff right up the gut up to the 23-yard line.
The ball's knocked loose. Now, was forward progress stopped? Yes, they're going to say it was stopped at the 23-yard line. I don't know about that.
Ooh. The safety came up and put a hit. That was Ryan Peaks, I believe, came up and put the hit on the ball carrier, and that ball shot backwards. I'm not sure the umpire ever saw that ball leave his hands, and it was shot out there like a gun.
Should we call him? I've got his phone number right now.
No, don't do that.
Okay.
It's not a good idea. They get testy about things like that.
He's a personal friend. I have one.
Whoa.
And I have many personal friends.
Does he know that?
No.
I mean, maybe he would.
None of them know it.
It's probably a good thing.
It's all news to them. Second down and 6. From the 24, Dupler wants to throw pumps. Looking long, and that one's going to be difficult to be caught at all because it's going to be about 3 yards out of bounds. As going down on the pump was Ethan Tabor, but there was no room to that side of the field. As by the time he pumped, he was already near the sidelines, and he threw it over his outside shoulder.
He ran an out and up, and Jared Noble was sitting at the safety spot, and he read the pass all the way. If that ball had been thrown inbounds, Jared Noble would have had a second interception of the night.
Well, for the second consecutive night, we've got a scoreboard issue. This one fritzed out. I'm telling you what, Jonathan Alder had a bug in their system. They've spread it around with their scoreboard. Now 4:14 left to go. The clock and the scoreboard come back on. What is it? We had no problems all season the last two nights. We've had some issues. I think it's you, Larry.
Listen, I've been thrown out of better places. I guess now's the time. I'm leaving.
Hard to believe.
I'm taking my brownies and going home.
No, don't take the brownies. Those were delicious. The German chocolate one was outstanding. I don't know how you do it every week.
I spend hours in the kitchen. I'm trying to find food in my refrigerator. None there.
And we need to move the ball back up. Yeah, they placed the ball at the 23 when actually it was at the 24, so now they slide it forward to the 24 again. It'll be third down and six. The Sales defense completely flops in the front four. Dupler straight back to throw, setting up a screen across the middle. Yes, they are. Up to the 25, up to the 30, up to the 34-yard line. They've got the first down. You can smell that one coming. The pass is complete to Ethan Heller.
Well, that's not going to make their defensive coordinator very happy, because anytime you get through free and you're a defensive lineman, you know it's a screen. And Sheridan didn't even knock the dust off him. They just let him come through clean, and it was an easy pickup.
Gain of 10 on the play. First and 10 from the 34. 405. 404, 403. It's skipping numbers.
Yeah.
Somewhere around 4 minutes left.
Don't do it. You'll start counting funny again. 40290. What?
Giddings wide to the top, two to the bottom. Also wing to the top. One man in motion. Now one back in the backfield to the left of Dupler. Goes straight back to throw. Rolls to his left now. Looks downfield. And guns it downfield. Throws it up for grabs. Jump ball. And incomplete coverage on the play by Chris McNally. He had the best path to the football. And by the way, we're at the top of the hour. So I'll remind you, you're listening to WVSJ Columbus, St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Chris McNally actually had absolutely, as you said, the best chance of catching. That was a jump ball. And he jumped a little bit higher, but just couldn't bring it down.
And then it was second down and 10.
Hey, don't forget to set your clocks back tonight.
That's right. Daylight savings time goes bye-bye, so you've got to go ahead and set them before you go to sleep. Move them back an hour, you get an extra hour of sleep.
Not me. I'm going golfing in the morning.
Did you go to Mass today?
Done.
Okay. Second down and 10 from the 34.
I have to watch for lightning bolts if I don't do those things.
Dupler, pressure on. Oh, my goodness, not going to happen. As soon as he rolled to his right, there was pressure. Asamoah's to that side, and he got away from him, but three other Stallions galloped back there and just drilled him around the 26-yard line.
They brought Asamoah off the edge that time. Again, this is the same blitz that they brought earlier down by the goal line, and the quarterback play faked and had his back turned to him, and I was just hoping he'd turn around in time to see it, and he did. Oh, and then he stepped right up into, well, a bunch of purple people eaters, and it wasn't pretty.
Folks, it's one of those hits that your jaw hurts just to talk about it, just to see the collision there, because he had nowhere to go.
He had no place to go, and he couldn't fall down fast enough.
Third and 17 from the 27. They give him forward progress to the 27.
Run the ball.
Two wide to either side. Dupler pressure on again. Can't get away. Ben Fossum knocks the ball free, and it's loose, and the Stallions have it back at the 15-yard line as they come up with the recovery, and it's big number 97, Brandon Darrow, the defensive end who gets it. Ben Fossum knocks it loose, and Darrow's got the football.
Van Fossen came on the same blitz. They just flipped their people, and this time it was Van Fossen coming off the wide side, and he just stripped him of the ball, and Darrow fell on.
For Brandon, that is his fourth fumble recovery of the season. Pretty good for a guy 6'3 and 230 pounds.
Just hang
junior
around.
Yeah, he loves English.
He thought it was a big old Virginia ham laying there on the ground.
Young man is a transfer from St. Charles. Peaks to the top of the set. Van Fossen is in the backfield. Offset behind him, it's Booth. Silvestri under center. Cole behind Walsh gets the handoff, gives it to Booth. Sidesteps one defender, but brought down inside the 15 and around the 14-yard line. Good penetration that time by Kyle Iman.
The secret to tackling a guy like Booth is to hit him as quickly as possible. Get him in the backfield, so, you know, make him make a move, because once he gets those big legs churning downhill, it's going to get ugly.
Approaching 2 minutes left to go. Boy, this could be a sweet situation if you're DeSales. Think about this, Larry. You score one more time.
Yep.
You're up by more than 30. You'll have continuous clock in the second half, and you get the ball to start quarter number three.
Right. And so you can evaporate most of the third quarter.
Booth now the up man. He gets the handoff.
Oh.
And the quick hitter. It's like trying to tackle a bowling ball. When his head is down to start with, then what do you grab for?
It was almost cartoonish. You know what I mean? You see that stuff on cartoons where the whole pile just moves. And they're going hurry up. They want to score to get that 30 points.
1:44 left to go. Third down and three from inside the nine-yard line. Silvestri going to keep. He tucks inside the five. Silvestri's going to take it into the end zone with a touchdown. 1:36 left to go. And six more to the board. It's 41-7 now in favor of DeSales. That's from 9 yards out for Cole Silvestri, who gets his fifth touchdown on the ground this season. Let's talk about his leadership during the break between the extra point and the kickoff. I want to get your take on what Cole Silvestri has done adjusting to the system from Olentangy Liberty, where he played in three contests, to here.
You want a beer?
Extra point time now with McNally to hold. And Dominic DeMaceo to attempt the extra point to make it 42-7. Again, that cushion would be more than 30 points to start the second half. High snap, put down nicely. Great pause that time by McNally. And it's 42-7. Larry, touch on the transition that Silvestri has made from Liberty to come down here to Sales.
Well, you know, Liberty runs a much more wide open kind of offense. They don't throw it 80 times a game, but it's much more wide open. He comes down to DeSales and he gets a chance to run what some people call methodical kind of offense, but they're so explosive. I mean, the running attack is so explosive that you're going to see nine-man boxes, and so he doesn't have to do a whole lot of things except orchestrate, but he does a great job of getting the plays, getting everybody lined up. You don't see any delay of game penalties. You don't see those kinds of things. So he's done a fantastic job of changing systems 180 degrees, if you will, to do what he has to do.
After the fumble recovery, three plays, 15 yards, 107 off the clock, 9-yard touchdown run by Silvestri, and make it 42-7 in favor of the Stallions here. Regional quarterfinal action in Division 3, Region 11. I think you're seeing why DeSales is number two in the state. You wonder, they were number one. What did they do wrong to dip to number two behind Toledo Central Catholic?
Their kicker didn't put two balls in the end zone.
Stop.
Got to be a reason. Hey, watch what you say. Mr. Garrick's right behind me. He's probably listening to the radio and didn't like what we were saying.
Not me, you.
Well, I've done that to a lot of people over the years. I'm sure I don't have
W-O-L-F, not a radio station.
And there's
an
no
a.
E, and there's no E on the end of
Thank
that.
You
we're the
much.
Poor wolves.
DeMaceo to boot it again. 42-7 Stallions, 1:35 left to go in the first half. And there's the kick, and it's going to be a return starting from the 5. Coming back the other way on the return, that is Munyon. Munyon up to the 25, and Jarrett to the 30, all the way up to the 35-yard line. So a 30-yard return for the punter and punt returner and kick returner, and that's where the Generals will get it back. With 1:25 left to go, and you're down by 35, what do you say for Coach Culver right now?
You get the ball into a running back's hands, you get into the locker room, and you just start over, because there's not a whole lot you can say. The kids know what's going on.
Here's 42. Yeah, but do you want to keep it under 30 points? Don't you look for a score here to get it under 30?
You'd love to, but by doing that, it might be 49-7. You know, you've got what has worked. The running game has worked and the short passing game. If they can do that, I'm all for it.
Symmetrical with two wide either side, one back in the backfield to the right of Dupler on this first down and 10 from the 35-yard line. Ridenour gets the handoff. Ridenour rides it inside, tries a second time, got up to the 37, pushed back, then rides forward to the 36. With 1:17 left to go, to Sales.
Yep,
going to take a timeout. They burn their first. They have two remaining.
They're going to see if they can make them punt the football here.
Are you surprised?
No, I'm not surprised. They want to put them out of their misery as quickly as possible, get as many young kids in the game, and keep your guys from getting hurt.
And we've got a player, it's Ridenour, that all of a sudden came up a little gimpy, and they're going to help him off the field. So Ridenour going to be assisted off the field by a couple of teammates, Hickman helping him and Cooper Ryder as they take him over to the far sidelines. All of a sudden, he just lost his footing, and now he's got it back. Now they're going to huddle up along the far side and come up with a play on a second down and 10. Don't forget, last night we had Hartley getting by Jonathan Alder, 35-21. Earlier today, we had Newark Catholic getting that win over
Belair,
21-20. Reedy a winner last night. So Reedy, Newark Catholic are going to play next Friday night, and we'll cover that game. And we don't know where that's going to take place yet, but that should be a great matchup.
It should be a great matchup. All the Catholic schools won last night in Central Ohio, so that's kind of nice. So this was a great league. There are some great teams and great schools in this league. And then, of course, Newark Catholic, little brother out there in Licking County, they're a traditional.
And Bill Franks is so soft-spoken. I'm not sure he'll have anything to say to me this week.
Bill Franks and I have had some good times on the football field together. He is a good guy. He's one of the really good guys.
I think he was a little concerned because he wanted us to do their first game of the season on TV this year with Licking Valley, but wasn't in the cards. Second down and 10 from the 35-yard line. 77 ticks left in the half. They'll keep it on the ground around the left side, and nothing there that time either. They waited for the seam, and that time Jarrett Munyon said, you know what, there's nothing here. I'm just going to go down back at the 24-yard line, and the Stallions now take their second timeout. You look at Munyon coming in this contest. He had 31 carries for 265 yards and three touchdowns.
Darius Mullins, from his defensive tackle position, played down the line from the opposite side and caught him from behind. Now, Darius Mullins is 320, give or take, pounds, and he chased him down from the backside. Pretty good athlete.
Larry, is there a hesitation factor, too, when you're down like this by about 35 points? You wonder, uh-oh, who's going to get me next or what's going to happen next? I don't think you play with the same kind of fire and vibrato that you do when you're in a closer contest.
When you're a running back, you expect to see holes. They don't have to be big holes. They just have to be slivers. When there are no slivers, you start to dance. And when you start to dance, the hits come often. You just have to get 2 yards or 3 yards on a bad play and hope that you can crack one for a big play. Because right now, Sheridan's playing kind of like they're on ice skates here. You know, they're looking for a hole. There's not going to be a hole. There's going to be a sliver. You have to get through that and make your own hole.
We'll see the Sliver Knights next week.
The Sliver Knights against the NERC Catholics. That's N-E-R-K, NERC.
NERC, one syllable. The Green Wave will wash through, and we'll see what happens as they take on the Silver Knights. That'll come up next week. And any prognostication as to where that game will take place?
Somewhere in Columbus.
All right. Third down and 10 for the 35.
Maybe Gahanna.
1:10 left to go. Bluffing blitz. Are they coming? Yep, they're sending one up the middle. Oh, Asamoah nearly anticipated that at the 31-yard line. Came shooting through like a missile. Put his hands up and nearly caught the ball in stride. It was almost a bubble screen to the wrong team.
Jarrett Munyon was going to catch the bubble screen, and what almost happened was a boomerang there. I mean, Asamoah came up from his outside position there. He read the whole play. Holy moly.
That was interesting.
That was scary.
If he could have kept his balance, too, Munyon's going to roll to his right and tuck and keep. Take it across the 35, up to the 45. He's got the first down and goes out of bounds. But there's one, two, three hankies at the 40-yard line.
They got number 18, Lane Householder.
Was he living up to the last part of his name?
Holder, yes. Lane House Holder.
Yep, holding is the call, and the Stallions will accept it.
The problem wasn't that it was holding. The problem was he was the only guy in the area. You mean, even my old eyes could see that from here. Don't say another word.
There's one other famous householder, you remember?
Yeah, but I can't remember.
Paul Householder.
Paul Householder.
Played for the Cincinnati Reds.
See, I try to just wash the Reds out of my memory.
No, I try to do that with the Indians in Game 7.
Don't do it.
Back at the 30-yard line. Let's see if Munyon gives us the real deal and punts it this time as McNally and Noble are back deep.
He's going to punt it.
Oh, my goodness. Snap way over his head. Inside the 10. Back to the 5. Lost the handle. Picks it up. Lost the handle again. Still floating free. Still free inside the 5-yard line. And the Stallions have covered the ball at the 4. That snap went about 10 feet over his head. And DeSales covers it. And they get the ball back with 54 seconds left to go. I'm not sure what happened, but that was the worst snap we've seen in a long time. That's the 4th turnover now in this contest, although, you know, it's going to be a short field with 5 yards, 54 seconds, and one timeout for the Stallions.
Punch it in. You're going to make it 49-7, and then you know that you can play all your young kids. It's, you know, you're going to be up by a bunch.
I mean, the wheels have come off for the Generals. They've been demoted here in the second quarter, but that was a snap unlike one we've seen. They've been all crisp and pretty nice for the Generals up to that point in time. They'll stack it up now with Van Fossen at Booth in the backfield. Silvestri under center, first and goal from the 5-yard line. Peaks in motion. Peaks gets a handoff in stride. Trying to turn the corner. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Touchdown. 48 seconds, 47 seconds. And they get the score, and it is now 48-7.
That was a jet sweep. It was executed perfectly, and he got inside the pylon for the touchdown.
And that is his 9th carry of the campaign, and with the touchdown now, 48-7, and the cushion is there now for the Stallions
Right.
And you know, to start the second half, you're going to be up by 30 points.
Right, and they're going to get a chance to get field position to start on the return, and then they're going to probably put their young kids in. Their older kids might be in for one series. That'll be it. Maybe only one first down to get them out of a hole.
I have to check with Aaron McPherson. I think the Booth is over 200 yards in the first half. Damasio with a kick. It is up. And it is good. 49-7 the count in this one. Larry, did you realistically see this one coming?
Well, we thought DeSales was the dominant team, but not 49-7. I mean, if you do the math on this, it's crazy. You know, but there have been some turnovers. There have been, you know, you had a pick, really, for a six. I mean, he went out to one. You had a snap over the head. You know, this game got out of hand. As soon as Sheridan scored to make it 21-7, they just made DeSales mad.
But again, is what I was talking about. You almost expect the wheels to come off.
Yes.
It becomes a domino theory to a certain extent. And you look at Alonzo Booth now. They have 241 yards of total offense. Booth has 200 of those on the ground.
That's a shame.
So he's right at the 200-yard mark with 47 ticks left to go in the first half. Last night we saw Marquette Dixon go for, what, about 335, 340, something like that?
Yep. Well, the difference is he had to play the whole game. Marquette did. I mean, that game was still in doubt with a few minutes to go in the game.
And you see the numbers, and you go over 300 yards, but Jonathan Alder refused to lose. I mean, they would not fall back at all, and
they
hardly to their credit.
And they kicked the onside kick late in the game and said, forced Hartley to stay on the field even longer.
You got to think the Hawks will bounce back against Port Clinton even stronger next week.
Which is exactly what DeSales does not want to have to do tonight.
And I would say there's a chance we could probably see the Hawks in 2 weeks if they win.
Absolutely.
Next Friday night. Damasio to do it again at 49-7, and we will have the ball go into the end zone. Now, that could have been fielded at the 1 yard line, but Munyon said, you know, I don't want any part of that ball.
Well, there were five purple shirts bearing down at about the 30 by the time that ball hit. So if he had caught it, it'd have been about the 20 by the time he started up. It would not have been pretty.
Boy, now at the 20-yard line, I know it's 49-7, but I think he almost just take the knee and go in at halftime and say, guys, it's your chance to play in the playoff game in the second half, and let's see what you got.
There's nothing more you can zero, say. And let's win the second half. Let's fight. It's tough to coach on either side of this kind of game, though. It really is.
This is a war. Those generals are the Confederate ones right now because they're down by more than 40. And the handoff off the left side up to the 21-yard line. The ball squirts free at the 14, but they're going to blow it down at the 21-yard line. And depending on our referee, Troy Newsom says the ball is ready for play. We could see one more play at most. He peers back to the clock. He's waiting to get under 25, I think. And he does.
Great.
He waits till the clock gets down to 23 seconds.
That was great officiating right there.
They don't have to run another play.
And they don't want to run another play.
Let's see what Paul Culver III says along the far side with 13, 12, 10 seconds now left to go in the first half. And Dupler's just going to keep him in the huddle, and that will do it for the first half. Larry, what a dominating performance by the Stallions on offense and defense and special teams.
All the way around, they're winning on all three phases. And for Sheridan, it's a tough way to basically finish your season. But you know what? They've had a great year up to now anyhow, so nothing to hang your head about.
49-7 to Sales leading here at halftime. We'll take a break. On the other side, it's the highlighter of two outstanding guests, Dan Garrick, the principal at St. Francis DeSales, and Jim Jones, assistant principal and the commish of the CCL. That and more when you come back to our halftime show. Again, 49-7 DeSales over Sheridan. This is the CCL Game of the Week, presented by the Mount Carmel Foundation here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Because you and the